genocide. To spare you is no profit, to destroy you is no loss. By Kimiko Komatsu, copyright 2022.
In the midst of a communist takeover, it's practically de rigueur to include a genocide. Don't plan on this one breaking tradition. Genocide is the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular ethnic, national, racial, political, or religious group, in whole or in part. Immediately after the 2020 election, enthusiastic little communists, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, could barely wait for the ink to dry on the final forged ballots before they were compiling lists of names. They weren't looking forward to the next gift-giving holiday. They were making lists of the names of those who they felt should be retrained or re-educated. Polite euphemisms for the attainment of ambient temperature. The cessation of all life functions. They want them dealt with for their associations, their political preferences, their religious beliefs, and any other obscure attributes that may rub them the wrong way. Some entries were actual names, but some were less specific but just as ominous. One chilling example was, Trump supporters. Don't be too concerned. They rarely get around to dealing with everyone on the list, but I intend to show you just how hard they're willing to try. I've chosen several examples of genocide from recent history. I've focused on a particular time period simply because of the availability of the statistics needed to perform a meaningful evaluation. I want you to be able to feel, in the pit of your stomach, just what an American genocide could feel like.
The following graphic reads, Rwanda, Hutu-led government, 1994, and depicts the opulent Kigali Convention Center, in Rwanda's largest city, Kigali.
This horrific, state-led genocide primarily targeted the Tutsi ethnic group, with Hutu nationalists annihilating nearly 75% of the Tutsi people. Tension between the Tutsi and Hutu ethnic groups in the country of Rwanda had been festering for years, eventually breaking out into civil war and fueling the tragic Rwandan genocide. The Hutu forces took a systematic approach to the genocide, often barricading escape routes to prevent victims from fleeing. They also motivated recruits to assist in the genocide with promises of land and resources that would become available afterwards.
The following graphic shows the location of Rwanda on a map of Central Africa. It also lists the following facts. Total population, 1993, 6,263,758. Total population murdered by their own government, 1 million. Percentage of the population murdered by their own government, 15.9%. If the same murder rate were applied to the population of the USA, the body count would be 52,908,252. It's noted that figure is based on the US population of 332,752,861 on 17th of September, 2021. That figure represents every man, woman, and child in the states of Kentucky, Oregon, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Utah, Nevada, Iowa, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, Idaho, West Virginia, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Maine, Montana, Rhode Island, Delaware, South Dakota, North Dakota, Alaska, Vermont, and Wyoming. The following graphic reads, Cambodia, Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, 1975-1979, and depicts one of the more recognizable landmarks in Cambodia, Angkor Wat, a temple constructed in the 11th century.
The Cambodian genocide refers to the attempt of Khmer Rouge party leader, Pol Pot, to nationalize and centralize the peasant farming society of Cambodia, virtually overnight, in accordance with the Chinese Communist agricultural model. This resulted in the deaths of approximately 40% of the country's population in 3 years, from 1975 when the Khmer Rouge seized power, until they were overthrown by the Vietnamese in 1979. Under the threat of death, Cambodians nationwide were forced from their homes and villages. The ill, disabled, old, and young, incapable of making the journey to collectivized farms and labor camps, were killed on the spot. People who refused to leave were killed, along with anyone who appeared to oppose the new regime. People from cities were forcibly evacuated to the countryside. All political and civil rights of citizens were abolished. Children were taken from their parents and placed in forced labor camps. Factories, schools, universities, hospitals, and all other private institutions were shut down, and former owners, employees, and their extended families were murdered. Religion was banned, and temples and churches were burned. Leading Buddhist monks and Christian missionaries were killed. While racist sentiments did exist within the Khmer Rouge, most of the killing was inspired by the extremist propaganda of a militant communist transformation. It was common for people to be shot for speaking a foreign language, wearing glasses, smiling, or crying. One Khmer slogan best illustrates Pol Pot's ideology: to spare you is no profit, to destroy you is no loss.
The following graphic shows the location of Cambodia on a map of Southeast Asia. It also lists the following facts. Total population, 1975, 7,524,457. Total population murdered by their own government, 3 million. Percentage of the population murdered by their own government, 40%. If the same murder rate were applied to the population of the USA, the body count would be 133,105,271. It's noted that figure is based on the US population of 332,752,861 on 17th of September, 2021. That figure represents every man, woman, and child in the states of Kentucky, Oregon, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Utah, Nevada, Iowa, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, Idaho, West Virginia, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Maine, Montana, Rhode Island, Delaware, South Dakota, North Dakota, Alaska, Vermont, Wyoming, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Colorado, Maryland, Missouri, Indiana, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Arizona, and Washington.
We've done a cursory examination of two recent genocides. The figures are staggering when we apply them to a nation with the population the size of the USA, but it's easy to rationalize that these events occurred far away, in less than civilized locations, that place little or no value on human life. That position isn't justifiable, but most rationalizations aren't, as we may soon learn firsthand, up close and personal. We can make a comparison that hits a little closer to home, right here in the good old United States, where we're all civilized and place the highest value and regard on human life. Above all, we value our children so much that our ruling class contends it can justify disarming the population, and get this, if it saves just one child. There we have it, a shining example of selfless commitment to those among us who are the least able to defend themselves. A stand so touching that it almost brings tears to my eyes. Almost, but not quite. Total bull craps like that. If saving just one life is so important, then why do they support recreational abortion? Birth control happens before conception. Anything later is murder. We place so much value on a human life that we'll burn cities, loot big screen TVs and expensive sneakers, and kill innocent, law-abiding citizens in mostly peaceful protests, if a career violent criminal is killed in the commission of yet another crime. We're so caring we will immortalize his final words, ad nauseam. We'll plaster, "I can't breathe," on anything that'll stand still long enough. We'll build shrines and have multiple funeral services for said criminal. We'll lavish exorbitant and obscene amounts of money on his grieving survivors as if it could, somehow, compensate for the loss of someone so loved, so deeply respected, and so irreplaceable. We will demand that others say his name, in tribute to all that he wasn't and would never be. That, dear reader, is how much we value human life here in the land of the formerly free, and the home of the previously brave. Where constantly is heard discouraging words, and the skies are perpetually cloudy all day.